Hi, Steve Kirsch, Executive Director of the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation. I have Dr. Ryan Cole here. He's a pathologist, been a pathologist for a long time, and a lot of people know who he is without further introduction. We're here today talking about blood clots, and in particular, embalmers have reported that they're seeing these unusual clots that they've never seen before in their entire history. And it only started after the vaccines rolled out and seems only to be in vaccinated patients. So I had one embalmer who had multiple cases and they knew which had the telltale clots and which didn't have the telltale clots. And they went back and they found the vaccination status and it matched up 100% to what they observed. So this is rather damning. There's a lot of association there that shows these clots are never happened before and they're only associated with vaccinated people. So Ryan got some samples of these blood clots so he could examine them and see what they look like, right? Because the question is, could these clots have been caused by the vaccine or they're clearly caused by something else? And so let's cut to the chase here, Ryan. So, these clots have been seen in up to 93% of the cases for embalmers, generally 40% or higher, and that's troubling. So, if you have these clots in your system, is that something that people can live with, or is that something that basically is just a ticking time bomb and it will kill you within a short amount of time once you develop these clots?
That's a great question. The interesting thing in a lot of these patients, you know, there's some blood tests we can do in the lab, one called a D-dimer, which says, you know, a clot is present. So when you see an elevated D-dimer, you think, oh gosh, this patient's clotting. And usually the doctors, the ER doc, the pulmonologist is going to do a scan of the chest, CT, and see if there's a big pulmonary clot. Because usually if you have an elevated D-dimer, that's the direction that one thinks. But they weren't finding those. So then that begs the question, well, where are the patients clotting? And most of, you know, the docs who are thinking and engaging in this are saying, well, then it's got to be microclots. And to that point, I have a colleague, you know, I see it in the skin, biopsies, some microclots, a colleague down in Texas, who's a GI pathologist. And so he gets a lot, you know, colon and stomach biopsies. And after the shots rolled out, he was seeing tons of microclots in his biopsies. So you can live with microclots. You can live even with medium-sized clots. And I'll get to that in a second once we start showing these, because you'll see why you can live with them at least for a while. And so you can live with the clot there, but the tissues around it eventually become compromised, or the tissues upstream from where that clot forms eventually become compromised because you don't have oxygen getting there. And then the tissues die off or become malfunctional. So livable to a degree for a while till it isn't.
But these massive clots that people are seeing, right? Like they can't get an embalming fluid into the body because they pull out these massive clots. I mean, that basically is what killed people, right? I mean, you can't live with these.
It's one of the factors that's killing people. And you're right, because the clot keeps on forming and forming and forming and forming. And
it
so
just gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
It snowballs. It snowballs. The platelets come along and say, hey, I think I'll stick to that. And the red cells come along. Hey, I'll stick to that. And then more fibrin comes along, the protein.
So it's like a rolling stone, tumbleweed or the whatever.
It keeps gathering more and more. And then you have a big flopping. And this is what's interesting about these is they're kind of anchored to the wall of a vessel. And then you have this big kind of polypy plug. And for a while, it's kind of like this flappy valve and blood, you know, tries to work around it, but as it grows, then you end up blocking off.
Right. So these are tissue samples or whole bodies that you got?
These are tissue samples. So these are the actual clots from within these larger vessels. And to your point, the morticians that usually, they'll put a dissolving fluid in to break up a clot so they can get their embalming fluid in. And they were getting back pressure on the system saying, what in the world is going on? So they ended up, you know, going in, grabbing and snaking onto these things and pulling out, you know, 6-inch clots, 12-inch clots, 2-3 foot long clots, because, you know, from the hip down into the leg, you have a long vein called the saphenous vein. And so they were pulling long clots out of your longer veins. And to your point, they hadn't seen anything like this previously.
When did you first start hearing reports of this?
A couple months back. I saw the pictures on the internet. A couple of friends had said, "Hey, have you ever seen anything like this? Do you think this is real?" I said, "Well, trust but verify is kind of how I work. You know, I observe and then I do the science." And so for me, it was like, okay, that looks interesting. It looks legitimate, but I'll believe it when I see it. And now I've seen it.
Okay. So a couple of months ago, it started, but the we're on a recording.
That's real life. It's all good.
It is real life. But the vaccines have been out since January. Now, so you said, you know, three months ago. I mean, we're talking the vaccines have been out for a year. How come you're only seeing this now? Or have people been seeing it before and they're just not reporting it before, been too scared to report it?
I think it's that fear factor. I think you hit the nail on the head, because as I talk to some of these morticians, I have two hypotheses on these. Number one, they were seeing it and they were like, "Huh, this is weird," and didn't think anything of it. Or it could be after one shot, you don't see a whole lot of it. After two, you see more, and after three, you see a lot.
So it's just the boosters that really started the punch here.
I think so, because, you know, in life, the dose makes the poison. If you drink too much water, you can die. Right. The dose of water makes the poison, and the dose of spike protein makes the poison. There was the Stanford study that came out a couple of weeks ago that showed how long the mRNA is still persisting within the lymph nodes and still generating spike. And in their study, it was up to 60 days, this synthetic mRNA making spike. So, and this is what's fascinating, is this isn't a classical clotting pathway. Normally you have an entire waterfall. You know, this complement factor needs to trigger this, needs to trigger that, this factor needs to trigger in order for each step of a clot to form. But with the spike protein, and this was a really good paper just recently, you know, a couple of weeks ago as well, from Dr. Pretorius out of South Africa, because they were saying, look, something's going wrong here. And so she has a way she measures the elasticity of platelets. And they did flow studies within tubes with normal blood, which, you know, will form a little clot along the side wall, because clots can form on glass. But then when they put spike protein in, incredibly abnormal clots started to form. And what was super fascinating in her studies is, normally you think of, okay, in order to form a clot, you need your platelets and you need your thrombin, you need your fibrin and fibrinogen and all the different factors. And so you think traditionally you've got a platelet and fibrin clot. What she found is she took plasma that didn't have platelets in it, and just putting the spike in clumped all the fibrin and, you know, the fibrinogen, and all the different splits that have to happen and lattice it all together without platelets was causing all that protein to stick together as well.
Right. So you have plausibility here.
Absolutely.
If I asked you, what's your confidence level that these strange clots that, you know, you have the samples of, you've seen the 3-foot, what is your confidence level that this is caused by the vaccine?
About 80 to 90%. I still want to do a few more studies on the ones I have. I haven't had time because I've been traveling and lecturing, but 80 to 90% just based on the papers that have come out and the mechanisms that have been explained.
Okay. So Ryan, if it's not caused by the vaccine, then what's causing these clots? How come we've never seen them before?
Well, there are plenty of conditions in the body, infections, bacteria, that, I mean, there's a condition called disseminated intravascular coagulation. So there are a lot of other infections that can also trigger clotting processes.
No, but not in 93% of the cases.
Right. That's a rare case where you get a patient with a septic infection and then they start clotting. So, you know, do we see clotting in medicine? Absolutely. There's a lot of different conditions.
No, but you see clots like this before.
No, 2 to 3 foot long clots. No.
You've never seen these before, Ryan.
No, and this.
So the cause has to be something that doesn't exist.
Oh yeah. I mean, if we're using Bradford Hill criteria, yeah, you know, proximate.
What is the other possible cause that could cause?
No, I agree with you. I know which direction you're going, and I agree with you. I mean,
it's not 80 or 90% then.
Well, I've got to put the final, you know, little nail in the board to make sure it's
okay. But I agree with you.
No, I agree.
Basically saying like, I don't have a clue as to what other thing might cause it. No. It's something that I don't, it would have to be something that I don't know about.
I'm saying, I think it's the spike causing it. Yeah. With, you know, a 90%, I'd bet in Vegas on 9 out of 10 odds. And I'm betting once I do a few more protein marker stains, then it's going to be 99.99% odds.
Okay.
So we're heading
and when will that be?
Well, I'm actually finally home for a week or two here and not traveling. So I can, at the scope, I have my day-to-day patients. So all this is in the wee hours of the night doing all the extra studies. So hopefully this next week I can do some of those. And awesome. By next week, I have some, more confirmatory results to add on to that.
All right. We're going to check back with you then. But in the meantime, I've just got 4 minutes left because I got to hop on another call.
Sure.
Can you show us those slides that we talked about earlier, the sort of the before and after? Yeah. And, and it's also very troubling when you see these people's blood before and after in these images on the internet, where you see the blood is moving normally. And then you see, they just got vaccinated. And now you see the there's no movement on the slides. Is that something that you would expect and believe that's caused by the vaccine?
Yes, because it's causing an instant clumping.
Yep. Okay. All right. So explain, we've got like 3 minutes left. Explain what we're seeing.
Okay. So this pale pink part that you see in this photo, that would be what a normal clot looks like. Just a few cells trapped in it, that just pink, no blue. In any normal clot, that's what it looks like. Now to the left, that's what we're seeing.
You can use your mouse pointer, by the way, I think.
I don't know why it's not showing up.
Not moving.
No, it's not moving. That's okay. So on the left, those blue dots, those are trapped cells. So in some clots, you'll see trapped cells, but I went ahead and stained these up to see what kind of cells, and I'll get to that in two slides here. So that pink like that is what a normal clot would look like, very acellular. And what's happening is this fibrin with some platelets in it and some red cells in it is all sticking together, but now it's causing all these other cells. These are mostly neutrophils and eosinophils, which eosinophils are like your allergic cells. They have a cell surface molecule that's sticky. It's called a intercellular adhesion molecule. And so this is this brown. So I marked all these cells for the expression of this adhesion molecule. So what you're seeing on the surface, all that brown means every cell in there is triggered to express a cell protein that says, stick to me, stick to me, stick to me. So normally going back, you'd see this nice pink, and then eventually the plasmin in your body breaks that clot down. And then when you measure, we'd see a D-dimer because the clot is breaking down. But we have way too many cells trapped. That's why these morticians are saying these are rubbery. I'm like, they're rubbery because a ton of that is protein. And there's a study that shows that the type of protein, it's kind of an amyloid. An amyloid is a protein clot. You get amyloid plaques and Alzheimer's and whatnot. So this is the problem. It's way too cellular. It's way too proteinaceous, way too much protein. And rarely we'll see like this in a leg, and then vessels will grow through it and try to, grow a new channel so that like that little white slit, it's trying to grow a channel through it so blood can keep trying to get through. But the body isn't breaking these down like it would normally either, because that spike bypasses all those different waterfall steps that you need to make a clot and is instantaneously causing a clot and or slowly over time causing it. So both pathways. So somebody may be feeling, you know, weak and fatigued and don't know why they're so wiped out, but they're wiped out because they're not perfusing their tissues, because the microclots, and these are big clots, but the little clots look like this too, which is what's odd. So it's not something we normally see in pathology. So it's a pattern that is highly unusual. And again, Dr. Pretorius's study, you know, she showed pretty well why the different cascades are happening, and it's the spike itself inducing them.
Yep. Okay. I've got to run to another call, but you don't show, like, these slides don't show this, you know, 3 foot long solid
blockage. I can see if I can grab that out of
something like that you could show us.
I did. Here, I'll just, probably easier to pull up on my phone. But I know you got to run. It was in one of those Substacks that somebody published recently. Or do this. This one isn't 3 feet long, but I don't know if you can see that in the tube here.
Yeah, not 3 feet long.
No, not 3 feet long. This was about 12 inches long, but these long, stringy, rubbery things.
Wow. And so you pulled that out of the inside of a vein?
Correct.
So this was impeding a vein?
Yes. Yes.
Right. And that you would never see before?
Rarely in, you know, other genetic clotting disorders, but not, you know, not 93% of people don't have a genetic clotting disorder.
Yeah, right. Right. And so this is, so suddenly all these people got a genetic clotting disorder all of a sudden.
And these were pulled out of the big veins. So if these are forming in the big veins,
then imagine what's in smaller veins.
Exactly. Exactly. Food for thought.
So if I were to cut it right here, would it be fair to say that you're not going to go out and get the booster today?
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Yeah, I didn't get the first two shots, and I'm not getting a third.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good. Any final words before we go?
No, I think scientists, now that we know, need to keep studying. You know, if you cannot find that for which you do not look, everybody needs to keep looking.
What do your colleagues say, by the way, when you tell them about this? What do they say? When you say, hey, how do you explain this?
Oh, it's not the vaccine, is what they say. Oh, it's possible. It's not the vaccine. They live in denial.